ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ओम अज्ञान। रीडिंग फ्रॉम श्रीमद् भागवतम कैंटो 6 चैप्टर 4 टेक्स्ट 34। यः प्राकृतैर्ज्ञानपथैर्जनानाम् यथा शयं देहगतो विभाति यथानिलपार्थिवमाश्रितो गुणम् स ईश्वरो मे कुरुतां मनोरथम्। ट्रांसलेशन एंड परपोर्ट बाय डिवाइन ग्रेस एसी भक्तिवेदांत स्वामी श्रील प्रभुपाद। एज द एयर कैरीज वेरियस कैरेक्टरिस्टिक्स ऑफ द फिजिकल एलिमेंट्स लाइक द अरोमा ऑफ अ फ्लावर और कलर्स रिजल्टिंग फ्रॉम अ मिक्सचर ऑफ डस्ट इन द एयर, the Lord appears through lower systems of worship according to one's desires. Although he appears as the demigods and not in his original form, what is the use of these other forms? May the original Supreme Personality of Godhead please fulfill my desires. Reading the purport, the second part. In regards to this word, Srila Madhvacharya says, Swadehastam harir prahur adhama jivamevatu madhyamam chapi anirnitam jivat bhinnam janardhanam. There are three classes of men: lowest adhama, those in the middle madhyama, and the best uttama. The lowest adham think that there is no difference between God and living entity, except that living entity is under designations, whereas absolute truth has no designations. In their opinion, as soon as designations of the material body are dissolved, the jiva, living entity, will mix with the supreme. They give the argument of ghatakash patakash, in which the body is compared to a pot with the sky within and the sky without. When the pot breaks, the sky inside becomes one with the sky outside, and so impersonally say that living being becomes one with the supreme. This is their argument, but Srila Madhvacharya says, such an argument is put forward by the lowest class of men. Another class of men cannot ascertain what the actual form of the Supreme is, but they agree that there is a Supreme who controls the activities of the ordinary living being. Such philosophers are accepted as mediocre. Best, however, are those who understand the Supreme Lord Sachidananda Vigraha. His form is completely spiritual, full of bliss, completely distinct from that of the conditioned soul or any other living entity. Uttamastu harim prahu taratam yena teshuta. Such philosophers are the best because they know that the Supreme Personality of Godhead reveals Himself differently to worshippers in various modes of material nature. They know that there are 33 million demigods just to convince the conditioned soul that there is a Supreme Power and to induce him to agree to worship one of these demigods, so that by the association of devotees he may be able to understand that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. As Lord Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, Matta parataram nanyat kinchidasti dhananjaya. There is no truth superior to me. Aham adir hidevanam. I am the origin of all the demigods. Aham sarvasya prabhava. I am superior to everyone, even Lord Brahma, Lord Shiva, and the other demigods. These are the conclusions of the Shastra, and one who accepts these conclusions should be considered a first-class philosopher. Such a philosopher knows that the Supreme Personality of Godhead is the Lord of the demigods. Deva, Deveshwaram, Sutram, Anandam, Prana, Vedina. So this is the Hansa Guhya prayers. And here, Daksha Prajapati is comparing various types of philosophers and ascertaining which is the highest mode of worship. And he's establishing that although there are multiple forms, the supreme form is that of Krishna, Supreme Personality of Godhead. The original Supreme Personality of Godhead, may the original Supreme Personality of Godhead please fulfill my desires. Sa Ishvaro me kurutam manoratham. And this is basically the essence of the devotional practice of every sadhaka. This is our prayer when we are chanting the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. Sa Ishvaro me kurutam manoratham. Please fulfill my desire. It is only by great fortune that after millions and millions of lives, one actually understands what should be one's real desire. I was giving the example yesterday that the conditioned soul, whenever he visits any place, he knows exactly what is the purpose of his visit. When he visits a doctor, he knows he's going to get cured. When he visits a dentist, he knows he wants to get his tooth treated. When he goes to a shopping mall, he knows he's going there to buy something. When he goes to a mechanic, he knows he's going there to get his car repaired. There is only one place all of us go before coming to Krishna consciousness, and we don't know why we are going, and that is temple. And each person has his own conception of why he's going. So just imagine if a doctor has a clinic, he's a super specialist, he's a surgeon, and he's waiting for patients, and he's a consultant, and so many patients are lining up. But not a single person is asking the doctor for medical treatment. The first fellow comes, says, 5 kilo basmati rice is there. Second fellow comes, can I get 5 liters of milk? Third fellow comes, my radiator is leaking in the car. Can you set it all right? So can you imagine the frustration this doctor will feel that here I have spent more than 6 to 7 years getting trained up as a super specialist. And that whole experience itself was quite frustrating. But the only hope kept me going was at the end of the day, finally I would get to see patients, treat them and make some money. And the whole list of people who is coming to them, they can't even understand what he has to offer. So just imagine, multiply this frustration by millions and trillions of times of what the Supreme Lord Krishna must be feeling when he's standing there waiting with the most cherished product he has to give, and that is pure love. And lines of people are standing and coming to him and asking for everything else except pure love. So it is his causeless mercy that he's still standing there. Otherwise, anyone else would have already left in frustration. So therefore, the archa is a manifestation of the Lord's causeless mercy. And therefore here, when the Hamsaguhya prayers are being spoken, prayer means that you offer your heart's desire, express your desire. And so, from these prayers of Srimad Bhagavatam, we actually understand what exactly is the problem we should be taking to the Supreme Lord and what exactly we should be desiring from Him. What is the real product He has to offer? So therefore, we need guidance from the Bhagavatam. And so here Daksha is saying that, please fulfill my desire. So as sadhakas who are practicing Krishna consciousness, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has given us the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, and all of us are aspiring fulfillment of our desires. But the fulfillment of desire doesn't take place instantaneously. It is not an overnight process. It takes time. And therefore, one goes through three stages. And today's class, I will discuss about these three stages one goes through. In the practice of Krishna consciousness, before one can actually realize the fulfillment of one's desires. And for explaining these three stages, I will also like to briefly discuss from some interesting pastimes. From the Chaitanya Charitamrita Madhya Leela, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's attempts to go to Vrindavan. Three interesting personalities and three interesting pastimes, but the message is very profound. So these three stages are the first stage which the conditioned soul, when it takes to sadhana bhakti, faces is called, I call it stubborn resistance. This is the first stage. The second stage is sincere assistance. And third stage is steady persistence. So one has to come through these stages and then one will actually experience the fulfillment of one's desires in relationship with Krishna. Of course, all of us have a dream of that stage three. And as soon as we hear that, we think when that day will come. But before that, we have to go through the first two stages. And even the second stage comes after going through the first stage. And the first stage is little longer and more challenging. And it is called stubborn resistance. So we find that the conditioned soul is so much used to enjoying and controlling that we do not experience the need for surrender or taking shelter of the Lord. So Srila Prabhupada explains in one beautiful purport this point. These three principles I have taken just from one purport from the fifth canto of Srimad Bhagavatam in the instructions of the relationship of Priyavrat Maharaj with Lord Brahma and Narad Muni. Srila Prabhupada gives the principles of surrender. And that is probably just one paragraph. But we can see the profundity of Srila Prabhupada's words, that within every word, every statement, every paragraph, so much meaning is hidden. So in that, Srila Prabhupada explains that to overcome stubborn resistance, resistance to surrender, resistance to accept the Lord's will, one must have very clear logic. And the logic for surrender is that one cannot anyway avoid Krishna's plan. Krishna's plan is infallible, it is absolute, it is all perfect, and we cannot avoid it. So therefore, better accept his plan and do things as directed by him and his representatives. So this is the main principle and logic we must be applying while trying to overcome this resistance. So in Bhagavatam it is described, Tasyaitasya jano nunam nayam vedoru vikramam kalyamano pibbalino vayor iva ghanavali. So the example is given that the power of Krishna's time factor is so powerful that practically no force can resist it. So just like you have cloud. So the cloud may go on accumulating further droplets of water and the cloud may expand in size. So initially the cloud is small and then the cloud grows and it grows and it grows. Kalyamano pibbalino vayor iva ghanavali. But however huge and powerful that cloud may become, once the wind blows, the cloud cannot resist. The cloud cannot stop. The biggest, most gigantic cloud will be thrown away miles apart simply by the influence of one gust of wind. So similarly, the conditioned soul may appear to be very powerful, and we may want to accumulate our assets, we may want to accumulate so many things to display our power. And one may feel that I do not need to surrender to Krishna because I am able to fulfill the desires of my heart simply by my own efforts. But we should know that all of the assets we accumulate is as fragile as droplets of water being accumulated in the form of a cloud. A cloud looks huge. A cloud covers a lot of space. The cloud gives the impression of power. But if you touch it, it has no substance. That is the story of material life. It's a big show with no substance. And if you just pass an airplane through it, it will just go through. And therefore we find that practically all of one's energy in the conditioned state is sapped in creating bigger and bigger clouds. So one cloud is competing with another cloud. Oh, I'm a small cloud. That is a big cloud. I must add some more so that I can become as good as that cloud. And therefore, one is trying one's level best to somehow outdo one another and establish one's superiority. But it is simply a competition between clouds. Because once the wind of the time factor flows, tasya tasya janonunam nayam ved uruvikramam. Uruvikramam means it is so powerful. Kalya manopi balino vayor iva ghanavali. Once death comes, unforeseen calamities come, we cannot do anything but accept the inevitable. Therefore, this principle of the surrender is that ultimately things are in Krishna's hand. Just like one philosopher said, that if you ever meet an atheist, or if you meet someone who's too much attached to doing things the way he wants, so you just ask him, okay, before you appeared on this planet, who was running the world? It's a God. After you go, who will run this world? A God. So now when you are here, let him do his business. Why you are so obsessed thinking that I am the person doing everything? So therefore, when we understand the logic, then one becomes ready to accept Lord's will as all in all. So when Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu appeared, he appeared in the form of an ideal devotee. And even in his pastimes, he demonstrates this principle. And the pastimes and the interactions between Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and his devotees are in pure love. But still, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu at various instances would make sure that the principles are established in such a way that conditioned souls who are far away from pure love can still take lessons from it and transform their lives. So this is the pastime of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is about to leave from Jagannath Puri on his way to Vrindavan. And in Jagannath Puri, His Holiness Devamrita Swami Maharaj explained this pastime very beautifully. I'll just take one part of it. And Gadadhar Pandit, who is Srimati Radharani herself, he decided that he will also accompany the Lord. So at this point, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he sees that Gadadhar Pandit is also coming with him. So Kaviraj Goswami says, Gadadhar Pandit yabe sangete cholila, kshetra sanyasna chadiha prabhu nishedila. So Gadadhar Pandit had taken kshetra sanyas. That means he had taken a vow that he will stay only in Jagannath Puri and worship the deity of Gopinath, Tota Gopinath. So when Lord Chaitanya saw that Gadadhar Pandit is also coming, he looked at Gadadhar Pandit and said, hey, Kshetra Sanyas na chhadiye, you cannot give up your Kshetra Sanyas. So therefore you cannot come with me. You cannot travel with me. So what Gadadhar Pandit says, Pandit kahe, yabe tumi sai nilachal, kshetra sanyasa mora yauka rasatal. He says, my dear Lord, wherever you are, yaha tumi sai nilachal. Where you are there, that is nilachal. And as far as your description of my kshetra sanyas is concerned, kshetra sanyas mora yauka rasatal. Let my kshetra sanyas go to hell. That is his argument. But Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he is not willing to accept this immediately. Prabhu kahe iha kar gopinath sevan, pandit kahe koti seva tvat pad darshan. He says, you stay here and worship Gopinath. That is your second vow. So first vow you are willing to give up, saying that you will travel with me, so you are out of Jagannath Puri. That is breaking of the first vow. And what will happen to the worship of Gopinath? Iha rahakar Gopinath sevan. Stay here and worship Gopinath. Pandit kahe koti seva tvat pad darshan. If I simply have darshan of your lotus feet, it is millions of times more powerful than worshipping Gopinath here. So he is giving his second argument that why he should be traveling. So now Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says, Prabhu kahe seva chhadive amalaya dosh, iha rahi seva kar amara santosh. If you leave this service and go away, then people will blame me. Amalage dosh. I will be at fault because you are my servant, I am the master, I am giving instruction and you are not following it. Therefore, I will be really pleased if you stay here. So Gadadhar Pandit is not so easy to be convinced. He has one more argument. And he says, Pandit kahe sabadosha amara upar tumasanga na yaib yaib ekeshwar. Said, my dear Lord, when will people blame you? When I travel with you. So my solution is, I won't travel with you. You travel your own way, I will travel some other path and then join you later. So nobody will come to know. So we can have the best of both the worlds. So he had all his plans ready. So I will travel on my own because it is not that I want to travel with you, but I have to go and, you know, see Sachi Mata and give message to her. So that is the reason I will be traveling. So ultimately it will all be fine. People will understand. So he was giving further resistance and he was giving further arguments to Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Now Kaviraj Goswami explains that internally Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was feeling ecstatic to see how much Gadadhar Pandit is attached to me. And this entire principle is known as Prema Vivarta, or apparent discrepancies because of manifestation of love. But still, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, because he has appeared as an ideal devotee, he has come to establish principles. And so, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu tells him that finally he leaves and then he comes to the next spot and he meets the Lord there. So Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, finally he tells him that please, that you have left Jagannath Puri and you have come here, that you have given up the worship of Gopinath, both of these desires you had, you have fulfilled it. Now, I request you, please go back. Please go back and resume your service immediately. And if you speak any more rationalization, any more reasons, trying to give various arguments why we will not do this, then I will not be very happy. So Kaviraj Goswami gives the summary of this pastime and he says, Prabhu lagi dharma karma chhade bhakta gan, bhakta dharma hani prabhur na hoye sahan. That there were so many devotees in Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's close entourage who were willing to give up Prabhu lagi dharma karma, to give up all kinds of activities, all kinds of religious principles, simply to get the Lord's association and simply to get the Lord's mercy in some form by seeing Him. Prabhu lagi dharma karma chhade bhaktagan. willing to give up everything. But Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was extremely strict. And therefore, Bhokta Dharma Hani Prabhur Na Hoye Sahan. Na Hoye Sahan, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu could not tolerate one thing. Bhakta Dharma Hani. Hani means giving up or deviation or stopping or forsaking of Bhakta Dharma, one's allotted service or given responsibility. Therefore, Bhakta Dharma Hani Prabhur Na Hoye Sahan. So therefore, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is demonstrating that although we may have so many reasons for not performing a particular service, and the mind is so creative that it can come up with so many fantastic ideas, but since we are in Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mission, and we are aspiring to get the mercy of the most munificent avatar, Lord Chaitanya, we have to lead our devotional lives keeping in mind the principles he has established. And therefore, the mind may offer stubborn resistance to accepting responsibility of taking up service or doing things in a certain way. But Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is demonstrating through such an exalted personality as Gadadhar Pandit, Bhakta Dharma Hani Prabhur Na Hoye Sahan. However difficult one may find, but one cannot whimsically give up one's responsibilities. So therefore, this is the first principle. The first principle is that of stubborn resistance, that the mind is so chanchal, it is so flickering, that every moment it gives so many brilliant ideas of how I should not be doing this service, how I should not be performing this sadhana, how I should escape from this responsibility of Krishna consciousness. So of course here, in case of Gadadhar Pandit, his activities should not be mistaken. They are in pure love, and he wanted to give up one specific service to have association of Lord Chaitanya himself. But still, the danger was so many conditioned souls in future will take this as a great example. That, wow, this is what I was looking for. Why have you left? Where were you? Gadadhar Pandit. He is my inspiration. And therefore, I am doing this. Srila Prabhupada, he was met by one devotee who had been sent to Sweden. And he came and met Srila Prabhupada. And Prabhupada met him in some other country in Europe. And Prabhupada said, "Hey, you were in Sweden. What happened? What are you doing here?" And he came with his whole family, his wife, and there was a kid, and they offered obeisances. And he told Prabhupada that, "Prabhupada, do you remember me? I am Krishna Das." Prabhupada said, "Yes, I remember you, but what are you doing here?" He said, "Prabhupada, there were so many problems in Sweden. Nobody was accepting Krishna consciousness easily, and it was becoming too difficult. And therefore, I had to give up everything, close down the center and came here." Prabhupada said, "Your name is Krishna Das. I should change it, make it Maya Das." Because, factually speaking, when I came to the West, practically everything was difficult. And therefore, the easiest thing for me to do would have been to go back. But then, I persisted, continued on. And therefore, the mind will offer so many different kinds of reasons and arguments why to give up. Why to give up a certain responsibility. Just like on the book distribution Nectar conference, one nice story came up, that there were these two devotees, and they were married for a few years. Actually, they were married for more than 10-15 years. And there were so many issues going on between them, finally, they started saying separate. And they decided, "We will now divorce." But they had not started the proceedings, but they just thought like that. They were not devotees, they were actually, at that point they were not devotees, but they were married for 15 years. And they had a very, very terrible time. And somehow, at a certain point, the husband met a book distributor. And the book distributor gave him a book, and the book was Ishopanishad. And he was asking questions in his mind, why so many problems are happening in life. And he got the book, he started understanding that it is all Krishna's plan, everything is perfect and complete. And he understood that, yes, there is a supreme controller. And I've been trying to control things in my life, and that has not been correct. Simultaneously, the same book distributor in the same city, on some other day, was distributing books and gave another book to the wife also. And believe it or not, it was the same book, Ishopanishad. So the wife started reading that book, Ishopanishad, independently at different place. And she also came up with so many conclusions that, oh, I've been trying to control, I'm not the controller, Ishavasyam, Idam, that first verse itself gave them so much inspiration. And that is the cause of all of our problems. So maybe after a few weeks, they met together. And their behaviors had changed. And the husband was saying that, I'm sorry for so many problems I had caused before. I thought I was the controller. He said, no, I thought I was the controller. I said, now I realize that I'm not the controller. There is someone called Krishna. And she said, hey, I also figured out it is Krishna. How did you get it? Ishopanishad. Ishopanishad. Wow. At last, after 15 years, we found something in common. Ishopanishad. And then finally, both of them came together. And then they had already taken appointments from lawyers. They've called the lawyers and said, forget it. And the lawyer said, come on, what happened? And he was trying to convince them, that don't give up so easily. And finally, they came together. And our Vijay Prabhu, he tells this story very wonderfully. So, we find that we resist, mainly because we are still thinking that I'm in control. And once that conception that I'm not the controller, that everything is moving by the influence of Krishna's will, that becomes more and more firmly fixed within our consciousness, our resistance decreases. So then the step two is that from stubborn resistance, we have to progress to sincere assistance. So even if you have that resistance, but still, if you somehow or the other try your level best to come to this second stage, sincere assistance, then gradually the process of surrender will be precipitated. And Bhagavatam gives a beautiful analogy. In the fifth canto it is described, Chakshush Chavaitad Iva Samprayuktam, that one should follow and one should assist. Just like a blind man who cannot see is assisted by a man with vision. If a blind man has to walk, it is not that he takes a few steps, he speculates and then goes ahead. When he's in an unknown territory and he has to go somewhere and he has to reach the destination, the right destination, it is practically impossible for a blind man with no vision to figure out how exactly I can go from this point to that point. The first time he's traveling somewhere. So he's totally, utterly dependent on the guidance of someone with vision. So therefore, that is the kind of dependence which we should try to cultivate. And then when we have that kind of a faith, we will be led very easily in the right direction. So the example is given that in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, in the same chapter, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was bidding farewell to devotees from Bengal in Jagannath Puri. And this was before the pastime with Gadadhar Pandit. And Nityananda Prabhu, he was there, and Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu called Nityananda Prabhu, and he requests Nityananda Prabhu very humbly. And Lord Chaitanya says, Nityanande kahe Prabhu, shuna Shripad, ami magitumi koraha prasad. Nityananda Prabhu, was very intimate associate of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is addressing him very respectfully, Shripad. Nityananda kohe Prabhu, shuna Shripad, O my dear Nityananda, O Shripad, ei ami magi tumi karaha prasad. I am begging for some mercy from you. There is one special request I have, and I hope that you will fulfill that desire. And what is that desire? Prativarsha nilachale tumina asiba gauda rahe mora icha safala kariba. Every year devotees come from Bengal to attend the Jagannath Rath Yatra. Prativarsha nilachale tumina asiba. My request is, you grant me this mercy that please, you don't come every year. Other devotees will come, you will not come. Please. He is requesting like that. And then he is saying, Gauda rahe, what will I do there? Stay in Bengal. Mora icha safala karibu. And fulfill my desire. I have some desire and I want you to fulfill that desire. Prabhupada writes a brilliant purport. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had a desire that his message be spread all over Bengal. And he was looking for a proper person who could do that. And therefore, Nityananda Prabhu was requested not to come to Jagannath Puri, although seeing Lord Jagannath greatly benefits everyone. So Prabhupada asked the question, does this mean that Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was refusing Nityananda Prabhu a very fortunate opportunity? Lord Chaitanya himself stayed 18 years and he is telling his most intimate associate Nityananda Prabhu, you please don't come. You stay there. So Prabhupada says that one who is a faithful person, servant of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, must execute his order. Even if it means he has to sacrifice coming to Jagannath Puri every year. It is a greater fortune to carry out Lord Chaitanya's order than to satisfy one's senses by seeing Lord Jagannath. Srila Prabhupada makes this statement. It is a greater fortune to carry out Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's order than to satisfy one's senses by seeing Lord Jagannath. And therefore, preaching Mahaprabhu's cult throughout the whole world is more important than staying in Vrindavan or Jagannath Puri for one's own personal satisfaction. So, here Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has a mission. And he has a plan to execute that mission. And although he is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he is seeking assistance, help of other servants who can also execute mission on his behalf. Srila Prabhupada, one of his disciples, very surrendered. He was, you know, selling books, collecting money in East Asia. And then there were some difficulties, and then he came to Srila Prabhupada. And he said, it is so difficult doing this service day in and day out. I cannot do it. I want to come back and stay in Vrindavan and do my bhajan. I have developed too much mode of passion now. I cannot do that. He said, but you are doing good service, Prabhupada said. What is the problem? You continue. So Srila Prabhupada, sometimes we are out on the streets for 17 hours. Prabhupada said, our process is 24 hours. And finally, Prabhupada convinced him. And he said, you must somehow go. He said, nobody is coming to the temple, Prabhupada. He said, Prabhupada said, stay there, sit in the temple, and you keep chanting. Even if no one comes, you chant loudly, you hear yourself. And Prabhupada requested. And so Gurujan Prabhu also mentions how in Hong Kong there were so many difficulties. But somehow, they had a desire to sincerely assist Srila Prabhupada. And this is the beginning of overcoming that resistance. If one does not take to this step too, one will never, ever in million lifetimes come over the first step. Because the mind, it is a PhD in offering resistance. It is its expertise. The mind knows no other business. And therefore it will do its business. But Prabhupada says, there is only one hammer which can silence the mind. And that is the order of the spiritual master. When the mind is jumping up and down like a monkey, that hammer, boom, hit on the head of that wild mind makes it sit down at one place and it will just be looking for some time. And then as soon as it sees that you are deviating a little bit, again it will jump, again create trouble. So mind by nature will do its task. That is the nature of mind. So therefore we have to subdue the mind by taking resource to higher powers. And that comes by this. So here, Prabhupada explains, it is not that one should act whimsically for his own personal satisfaction. This order comes through parampara, and the spiritual master presents this order to disciple to carry out that order. Taha siddhi korehe na anyena dekhiye, amara dushkara karma toma hoite hoye. Lord Chaitanya says, taha siddhi kare, to fulfill that plan of mine, to make Bengal Krishna conscious. He na anya na dekhiye. My dear Nityanand, I don't see anyone else. So Nityanand may say, what about you yourself? Gaur Nitai, let us go together. You are telling me to go, you also join. Amara dushkara karma, Lord Chaitanya says, this task is impossible for me also. Toma hoite hoye, and therefore I think only you can do that. So immediately, the conditioned mind will think that very nice way of convincing, very nice sweet words, by which someone can be convinced like this, I can't do, you please do this. But Prabhupada gives an elaborate purport explaining that Lord Chaitanya was not speaking just empty words. When he says, amara dushkara karma, it is a task impossible for me, it is a fact. Because previously, before Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu took sannyas, Nityanand Prabhu had demonstrated how he could deliver Jagai and Madai. And Lord Chaitanya's list of deliverances mainly at that point contained all aristocratic people, like Prakash, our Sarabhaum Bhattacharya, Rupa Goswami, Sanatana Goswami, they were all coming from higher classes. But Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had not really traveled in that class of Jagais and Madhais. And even when Nityanand Prabhu did something, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu couldn't tolerate the effects of that. And he had come to practically kill them. So Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is saying that, I failed. Jagai Madhai case is the example. That Jagai Madhai, when they went out of control, I also went out of control. I took the Sudarshan Chakra. But you went out of control with compassion. And that is a proof that for that class of people, which is maximum in Kali Yuga, you are the best person. So in this way it says, amara dushkara karma. So Prabhupada says that if one is true to Gaur Nitai's service in the disciplic succession, he can excel even Nityananda Prabhu. Nityanand Prabhu's service. This is the process of disciplic succession. Nityanand Prabhu delivered one Jagai and Madhai, but by Nityanand Prabhu's grace and by the grace of the Guru Parampara, one can deliver many thousands of Jagais and Madhais. Someone came to Prabhupada and said, my Guru is God. I said, why? Because I was alcoholic, and when I met him, he gave me certain mantras and I gave up alcohol. Prabhupada says, by that standard, I am God millions of times. Because I had hundreds of people like that. And all of them they gave up. And Prabhupada says that in Kali Yuga, you can practically see the mercy and the power of Gaur Nitai flowing through the parampara. And this is the special benediction of Guru Parampara. One who is situated in disciplic succession can be understood by the result of his activities. So Prabhupada says that by the grace of Vishnu, a Vaishnava can render better service even than the Supreme Lord. This is the special prerogative of Vishnu, and Lord Vishnu wants his servants to excel even him. That is his desire. And therefore, Prabhupada says, if we simply follow Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's instructions, try to assist him sincerely in this mission, then even more difficult tasks can be accomplished. As Lord Chaitanya is saying here, Amara Dushkara Karma, it is difficult for me to do, you can do it. So that is the power which is released by the Guru Parampara if we simply agree to remain connected to it by following the instructions of the sincere servants who are coming in that line. Our Yashomati Nandan Prabhu says how he joined the movement. Like he was coming to the temple and then somehow he was an engineer. He went for, you know, his higher studies in engineering. He got his degree, was working in Detroit. And he had a very good job. And then finally, he was quite inspired to take initiation from Prabhupada, but still he was like keeping some distance. So when he came for initiation, one devotee came up to him and said, tomorrow is initiation. Prabhupada has specifically given one message for you. He said, what is that? Prabhupada said, for initiation, you must shave up. You have all this hair, you must shave up. And he said, hey, but I'm doing job in Detroit. I'm a corporate man and I can't do this. So then Prabhupada said this. So he was thinking now, what can I do? He said, just go and ask Prabhupada, what will I do if, you know, I can't go to the job like this. So the devotee went, came back and said, Prabhupada said, hair will grow back, but Vaishnava ceremony comes once in a while. So you just do it. Shri Radha Gopinath ji ki. So, finally he shaved up. And then he was there for the ceremony. And he got initiated. And after initiation, again he met Srila Prabhupada. And Prabhupada said, very good, you're looking very good, shaved up. And he said, but how will I go to my job now? Prabhupada again said the same thing, hair will grow back. Hair will grow back, but, you know, for Vaishnava ceremony, sometimes it is good to be like this. So he said, okay. And the evening came, it was time for him to leave, but he was still thinking, how can I go to my job like this? My boss will kill me. My colleagues will ridicule me like anything. He said, tomorrow I will go. So tomorrow, one more day he waited. He checked in the mirror, nothing had happened much. One more day he waited. And after 1 week he thought, after all, this place is also not bad. And let me stay here only. And he joined the temple and never went back. And he said, Prabhupada was somehow so expert that he knew that I'm coming from an Indian background, I won't immediately jump in. But he somehow or the other knew the psychology and then knew that, you know, this is what I will be considering, and specifically he sent this kind of instruction. So, practically speaking, when we are practicing Krishna consciousness, when we come in touch with more advanced devotees, the greatest fortune we can have is to become sincere assistants. And simply by assisting devotees in their service sincerely, we will get the power of the mercy coming through disciplic succession. And therefore Nityananda Prabhu says, Nityananda kohe ami deha tumi pran, deha prana bhinna rahe eito praman. Nityananda Prabhu says, my dear Lord, I am the body and you are like my soul. So therefore, guru is like the soul and disciple is like the body. And unless the soul is there, the body cannot act, cannot move. The soul moves the body. Similarly, it is the supreme will coming through the divine representative, and that will moves our body as far as spiritual life is concerned. All movements in spiritual life should be conducted under the influence of that divine will. That is the soul. And in this way, he says, Achintya shakte kare tumitahara ghatan ye karahasai kari nahika niyam. Whatever you tell me, I can do unlimitedly, nahika niyam. As you have said, amara dushkara karma. Even things impossible for you, you are saying, I can do, so I believe I can do. But on what basis? Achintya shaktya kare tumi karaha ghatan. You have achintya shakti. It is your inconceivable mercy, my dear Lord. By that power, I can execute seemingly impossible tasks. So Prabhupada very beautifully writes in the purport that although the Lord wants to give all credit to the devotee, it is not the devotee sits and blindly says, yes, yes, I can do better things. Of course, I always knew that. It is only confirmed today with a Shastric statement. Otherwise, I always had that doubt. Why they are telling that I should be humble, I should be humble? See, here it is very clearly said, Amara Dushkar, even Lord cannot do. With great difficulty, I threw this conception that I am God. I think I have to bring that back again. So Prabhupada says that devotee never takes any credit, and consequently, immediately he transfers all the credit back to the Lord. Lord Chaitanya said, Amara Dushkar Karma, and Nityananda Prabhu saying, Achintya Shakti Kari. Okay, you may say, I can do something better, but that is also coming from your power only, your mercy only. Otherwise, not my own power. So therefore, from sincere assistance, gradually one goes to the third stage, and that is steady persistence. Steady persistence, when the devotional service becomes steady, without deviation. And then one simply proceeds very wonderfully in the process of Krishna consciousness, steadily. So Prabhupada in the same purport explains five aspects of the attitude which helps in developing this steady persistence. What can create this steady persistence? What kind of mental setup is required? So the first principle is the devotee thinks I should not aspire for happiness. And number two, devotee does not regret distress. Not aspire for happiness, not regret distress. Thirdly, satisfied with the position we have been given. And fourthly, follow the path of devotional service, practice bhakti. And fifthly, not be dissatisfied with any experience of happiness and distress he may come across in the execution of bhakti. So independently, we should not aspire for happiness, nor we should regret distress. Be satisfied and just follow. And even while following, we should be detached. So he gives the beautiful analogy of that of a bull. Just like a bull is pulled by the ropes through the nose, similarly, a devotee is pulled by the rope of the instructions of superiors, of authorities. And when the nose, you know, is held by that rope and you pull it, the bull has practically no choice. He cannot do anything. So similarly, the devotee should voluntarily allow himself to be chained by the rope of those instructions. And then he will really experience what is known as steady persistence. Because the bull, if you see, it is not that the farmer, it goes on asking the bull, you know, how you are feeling, what is your mood, do you feel like working? If you ask the bull anytime, do you feel like working? He'll say, no, not at all. And anytime you go, it is always like, you know, exhaling loudly, and you may even become fearful to go near that. So, two things you can learn from the bull. That bull is completely under control, and wherever he wants to be placed, that is where the bull is placed. So, as far as position is concerned, bull has no independent authority. Bull can't tell the farmer that, take me to that part of the field, you know. That looks little soft. It is very hard. Let us go there. And he just doesn't start taking the farmer along with him. He doesn't take the farmer for a walk. farmer holds him by the nose. If that rope is not there, then farmer may not control. The bull is so powerful. But the rope is there, however angry that bull may be, he just pulls it. He is under control. And therefore, if we do not allow that rope to pass through our lives, then nobody can control. And our devotional lives will be like a social circuit with factually no substance, because we do not have, or we have not allowed anyone to offer that kind of control. And therefore, as far as position is concerned, the bull has no independence. And secondly, the bull has no choice as to what it will eat. He's just standing at one place, and the farmer just provides things. So the second thing is, he has no choice over his experience. So the bull cannot choose his position, the bull cannot choose his experience. Both the position and experience are something which the bull has to accept without complaint. And that is the example Prabhupada gives in the purport as far as how to be steadily persistent. That we have to come to that level that we just accept this kind of position and this kind of experience, knowing that it is good for my spiritual life. And therefore the third pastime which I was going to describe, but I'll just mention one verse from that, and that is Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's instruction to Raghunath Das Goswami when he was trying to run away from his home. So Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu just told him in very sweet way, because Raghunath Das Goswami was thinking, there's 11 people are guarding me. You know, his father had arranged for 5 guards, you know, 4 people to take care of his personal things and 2 Brahmin cooks. So there was an entourage of 11 people, and he was thinking, I will just give this up and go away. So Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, Sthira hoiya ghare yao na hao vatul, krame krame pae loka bhava sindhu kul. That becomes steady. Sthira hoiya. Ghare yao, right now go home. Na hao vatul, and do not become mad. Do not act like a crazy person. Krame krame pae loka bhava sindhu kul. Gradually, in due course of time, you will be able to swim across the ocean of material existence. You can't cross an ocean whimsically. You can't cross an ocean before time. When you start swimming, then every stroke you make of pushing the water back has some effect in pushing you forward. So if you push yourself forward 5 meters, then that process which helped you swim 5 meters will also help you swim 500 meters. That same process of sweeping with the hand and legs will help you travel 5 kilometers. That same process will help you cross 500 kilometers, 5,000 kilometers. The distance may vary, but the process will not change. So what helped the swimmer stay afloat in the first 2 meters? That will only help him stay afloat till the end and cross the whole span of the ocean. So we have begun that journey of swimming across the ocean by chanting Hare Krishna and by following the 4 principles. The mind convinces us after a few years, now you have swum, you know, in this fashion long time. Now change your style a little bit. Stand at one place and jump up and down. You'll go faster. So you'll go faster where? Down. Not the forward movement. So any experienced swimmer knows that all he has to do is he has to remain steady when he has to cross. So krame krame payaloka bhava sindhukul. Suddenly, why should we get a brilliant idea? Swimmers, they cross across various channels, the English channel, this channel, that channel, and they don't create some new process right in the middle of the ocean. You can't do that. If you do that, you'll simply drown. So therefore, you have to go through the same process steadily, persistently. So Lord Chaitanya finally tells him that you don't do false monkey renunciation, but wait for the right time. Sechala se kale Krishna sphurabe tomare Krishna kripa yare tare ke rakhi te pare. He says, it is not that I am telling you to stay at home permanently, but right now, be steady in what you are doing. And gradually, if you follow this steadily, when I come back from Vrindavan, come back to Jagannath Puri, at that time, Krishna will reveal some trick. Se chala se kale. At that time, you will get some trick, some your means. Krishna spurave tumare. Krishna will inspire you from within and you will get some trick. And Krishna kripa yare tare. And one who has received Krishna's mercy, ke rakhite pare. Which power can stop him? Which power can hold him back? So therefore, dhairyat. One should be patient. So Raghunath Das Goswami wanted to renounce and join immediately. Lord Chaitanya said, wait for the right moment. The right moment is when Krishna reveals the right plan. Krishna spurave. And once Krishna kripa yare tare, Krishna has given his mercy, no power can stop such a person. Therefore, Raghunath Das Goswami is known to be the greatest renunciant. His embodiment of renunciation. He gave up eating, he gave up sleeping, he gave up so many things which we cannot even imagine. And anyone tries to imitate Kaviraj Goswami says will die. That is the kind of renunciation. But the beginning of Raghunath Das Goswami's renunciation was renunciation of his own conception of what he felt was the right thing to do in life. And I feel that is one of the greatest renunciation. That although he was so qualified and although he had the power of renunciation and he had such enthusiasm, but still when Lord Chaitanya said, Se chala, se kale, krame krame, paya loka, bhava sindhukul, in due course of time, things will be revealed. Right now, don't leave your home, stay at home. And he accepted that advice of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. That is supreme renunciation. And in this way, he led a dedicated life of steady persistence. And it is described, the renunciation of Raghunath Das Goswami was like stone, was like lakir, lines in a stone. And the basis for that was his submissiveness. So Prabhupada says, in this purport of krama krama paya loka bhava sindhu kul, if you have to cross an ocean, the ocean of material existence can be crossed, number one, patiently. Number two, intelligently. And number three, submissively. So submissively, patiently and intelligently, one will be able to cross this ocean of nescience. And then one will be able to actually receive the Lord's mercy. And as Daksha Prajapati is saying here, Sa Ishvaro me kurutam manoratham. My dear Lord, please fulfill my desires. And then one will experience the fulfillment of one's desires in Krishna consciousness. When he comes across the stage of stubborn resistance, taking shelter of sincere assistance, then that steady persistence will finally push him across the ocean. Krame krame paya loka bhava sindhu kul. And he will reach Krishna's abode. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. So any comments?
Hare Krishna Guruji, you mentioned in the third part about this steady persistence. You gave the example of the bull, that how, you know, if that we allow that rope to go through our nose, then, you know, there is someone to control. So in practical terms, how do we understand this surrender? In our case, we are probably referring to superiors, to guru. So in practical terms, how do we allow this rope to pass through our nose, what is it we have to do to allow that to happen?
In our terms, when we are in practical devotional service in ISKCON, all we have to do is try to become sincere servants of devotees. And depending on the specific temples we are connected with, there are specific systems to make that shastric principle into a practical reality. So here we have what is known as a counselor system, or this system or that system. Different systems we have by which our services are facilitated. And therefore, if we simply take shelter of these systems, then gradually we will experience transformation. So also, when we sincerely practice Krishna consciousness and study the Shastras and also render service, Krishna reveals the intelligence by which you will know how to deal properly in different situations. Because you have to be servant of Vaishnavas, but there are 2,000, 3,000 Vaishnavas. And everyone will say so many things, so how do I follow? So therefore, if you see Bhagavatam, the pastime begins in the 7th chapter of 1st canto with the dilemma of Ashwatthama. The dilemma of Ashwatthama, of Arjuna, was caught between Krishna and Draupadi. Draupadi was saying, release. Krishna is saying, kill. You know? Bhima, I think. I don't know, Bhima, yeah. And at that point, it seems that according to Vishnu Chakra Thakur, Krishna manifested four hands. Two to stop Draupadi and two to stop Bhima. Today, cool it, relax. And therefore, in that pastime, Prabhupada explains, contradictory orders given by different authorities are impossible to carry out. You know, at a certain point, I was going through some difficulty like this. And that time I was reading this pastime. And this purport came. And this line just went and stuck in my head just at that point. So contradictory orders from different authorities are impossible to carry out. Therefore, how do you reconcile? That you have to consult and gradually become mature. And with maturity, you will be able to perform things nicely for the satisfaction of devotees. And we cannot do anything before time. That is the most important principle. So therefore, Prabhupada gives the example that everything takes its own time. Just like a small child, if he's given description of, you know, a beautiful girl, will not feel agitated. When that same child becomes 16, 17 years old, nobody needs to tell him anything. Then after that, you have to stop him and control him. So similarly, sadhana bhakti is like that. We are getting a lot of information about Krishna. He's so beautiful, he's so nice, he's this, he's that. Nothing is happening inside. So just like a five-year-old child, if a most beautiful Miss Universe comes with a chocolate in hand and offers the chocolate, the child will look at what? The chocolate. Not even look at that girl. And the person with the child may look not at the chocolate. And he may also see whether the child is looking where I am looking. So, but the same child, when he grows up, immediately knowledge is revealed from within. So very, you know, immediately we can connect to this. So similarly, in the initial stage, you can hear the most brilliant description about Krishna with all the Bhagavatam verses, with so many alankars and ecstasies of so many great Vaishnavas. And longer the description goes, greater our sleep increases. And it doesn't enhance any particular feelings. Why? Because five-year-old child, whether you tell him about, you know, something for 5 minutes or for 5 hours, if that child is not ready for it, you are just wasting your time. So therefore, krame krame payaloka, you have to wait for the right time. Everything will happen. You can't become impatient. So therefore, in due course of time, things will happen, and then gradually a person gets control over his senses, gets discrimination, understanding, also how to serve different devotees. Everything happens gradually. The process is proper. Process is perfect. It works. So main thing is we must remain within the process. Just like one of Prabhupada's servant, he was saying he was Prabhupada's servant and Prabhupada would fix up appointments with different devotees. And 10 people would come and Prabhupada said, okay, I will come to your house. Another man would, I will come to your house also. And Prabhupada would fix 6 or 7 lunch appointments. And they would say, okay, whom should we contact for follow-up? Said, contact my servant. And they would all go to the servant. And they say, Prabhupada is coming to my house. He's not coming to your house, he's coming to his house. Third person would come, fourth person would come, and he would have a tough time. And finally, they would all go blasting the servant that you have ruined the program. Prabhupada was so nice. He agreed to come. You are not allowing him to come. You are coming between us and Prabhupada. So finally, he went to Prabhupada and he said, what is going on, Prabhupada? I am trying to serve you, but you have to help me in this service. Because I am trying to make a perfect schedule and you are overbooking yourself. And everyone is saying you are directing them to me. Prabhupada said, my job is to accept appointments, your job is to cancel them. So no more questions. And to accept whatever they say is part of your service. Yeah.
I think it's more or less answered, but one small doubt still is there. You give examples of Nityananda Prabhu, Gadadhar Pandit, and also Raghunath Das Goswami. And we see that in all these cases, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gave direct instructions to them and they followed. But we have heard and we have seen that in a dynamic society where a lot of things are there, like for example, in the present situation, a spiritual master might not give direct instructions because a disciple might not follow and then do Guru Aparad. Or he might not give instructions because the disciple might grudgingly follow and then he might curse later and he might rebel. So we hear that the spiritual master many times expresses his desire indirectly, or a disciple is supposed to be intelligent and understand what the spiritual master wants. So in that case, if this is true, for a second class servant who is not first class, in the sense who can't understand the desire, who just wants to follow, for him it seems to be a very tall order. So first of all, is this true that the spiritual master gives that indirect hints like this? And secondly, how does the second class servant get those instructions, catch those instructions and follow them?
See, basically, it is not that you need some special instructions to be accepted. Main instruction, mukhya instruction is chant Hare Krishna, follow the four principles. Is that a secret instruction? Is it easy to do? That itself makes us perspire. Just this first instruction. Chant Hare Krishna every day 16 rounds. And many days the bead bag is in front of us and it doesn't appear to be very attractive. And many times we think, full life, we have to take this around and deal with it. Is it easy? That is an instruction which is common to all, but that itself is so difficult. And what to speak of chant attentively? And what to speak of chant with feeling? When that day will come? So just finish that 16th round itself seems to be such a tall order. And this is like a common instruction. And that too Srila Prabhupada, out of his causeless mercy, has, you know, stepped down from 64 to 32 to 16. Otherwise, Bhaktisiddhanta Thakur's definition of patit is one who doesn't chant 64 rounds is patit. Finished. That was his definition. And to follow four principles, is that easy? So when you hear prayers of Srimad Bhagavatam and all, you feel so fallen that when will I come to that stage of prayer? Our stage of prayers is still, you know, doesn't even find its way in the Srimad Bhagavatam. Because even the personalities in Bhagavatam never had such low-class problems like we have. Even the one who is very low and is described as fallen in Bhagavatam, and who does all kinds of abominable things, still, as Radhanath Maharaj was making one statement, that a Shudra from previous ages, if he comes in Kali Yuga, would be considered Paramahamsa. Because that was the standard. Shudra also followed four regulative principles. And one who doesn't follow four regulative principles come below Shudra, outside of the Shudra class. So therefore, this is just the first instruction. Chant 16 rounds and follow four principles. So when we do that, then gradually other things, other responsibilities are given. And even to get first-hand instruction is not so easy to follow. Prabhupada met Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Thakur maybe, you know, a handful of times. And Bhaktisiddhanta Thakur told him, preach in the West, in English language. Instruction given in 1922. But it also requires the right patra, the right candidate, who can actually take that instruction to heart. So there are so many instructions. Problem is, our patra is full of holes. Instruction keep coming, keep pouring out. Keep coming in, keep pouring out. Now after a few times like that, spiritual master stops giving. But fill the holes first. And then come to me. So it is not so easy. So therefore, Srila Prabhupada took that one instruction and planned his whole life in such a way. And we get so many direct instruction. So in many ways, you feel scared. And sometimes you may even feel that someone who doesn't get direct instruction is many times fortunate, because he doesn't have that pressure of not following, you know, what is given directly. So there is absolutely no need to fear, because there are so many instances of Prabhupada disciples who never met Srila Prabhupada directly or personally. But what is the direct order? Amar agya guru hiya tara idesh. Krishna upadeshikar jivar nistar achirati krishna tamar paib angikar. He is telling Vasudev the leper that give this Krishna consciousness to others. Achirati krishna tamar koribe angikar. Krishna will accept you. This is direct instruction for all conditioned souls. Amar agya guru hiya tara idesh. This is direct order. So we don't need anything secret. We don't need anything specific. We may get, but it is not that anyone who doesn't get is lacking in any way. He has a whole bunch of direct instruction, whole bag full of it, which will be difficult to balance on the head. So in that sense, I would say that nobody is to be considered left out, or, you know, less fortunate, or his chances have decreased because he didn't get something specific or direct from someone who is, you know, existing or living right now. But according to the needs of the mission, different people are given different types of service. So Lord Chaitanya told Nityanand Prabhu, you preach in Bengal. You don't stay in Jagannath Puri. He told Haridas Thakur, you only stay in Jagannath Puri. And he told Rup Sanatan, no Puri, no Bengal. Go to Vrindavan. Stay in the forest. And excavate. So every person was given different instruction. And so many others, they were never given direct instruction by Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. But they were assisting those who were assisting the Lord. And that is the meaning of disciplic succession. Therefore, our line is Shiksha line. And therefore, we need to become submissive and humble so that we are in a position to accept instructions from even those who are the servants of the servant of the Guru. And therefore, so many such instructions will come, but what blocks us from accepting those instructions is our own false ego. So therefore, being submissive and giving up that stubborn resistance and becoming active assistant is very important. Only then the same power, the same knowledge, the same principle which is coming down can be accepted and received. So therefore, this principle of accepting shelter and to recognize where that is coming is very important. Many times it comes in ways we may not even recognize. So intelligence is to know that, yes, let me not take this opportunity cheaply. This is also Krishna's representatives speaking, and this is all their servants who are giving me this service, let me do it. And in this way, the disciplic succession spreads its power. Okay? Srila Prabhupada ki. So one thing about this darshan, Narhari Prabhu made this beautiful Shringar Vat. Krishna is braiding the hair of Srimati Radharani. One comment Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur makes in the first chapter of Bhagavad Gita. Nimittani cha pashyani viparitani keshava. Arjuna is offering stubborn resistance to Krishna. I won't fight, I won't fight, I won't fight. And one of the logic he gives is, you know, I don't see any motive in fighting, I don't see any bright future in fighting. Viparitani, I see only opposites going to happen. Keshava. And he uses the word Keshava. So Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur says, Keshava means Arjuna is trying to tell Krishna that why you have brought me to this Kurukshetra and suddenly why you are engaging in this kind of ghastly pastimes of killing. You are Keshava. Keshava means Keshava Vinyasa Karoti Iti Keshava. One who is always engaged in combing the hair of Srimati Radharani. So maybe you have given up Vrindavan for a long time and you have forgotten this. But rather than this ghastly pastime, you give up this chariot and go back to Vrindavan and braid Radharani's hair and leave me alone. That is his main point. So in this way, this Keshav refers to also Krishna who is engaged in the pastime of Keshava Vinyasa Karoti, who is decorating the hair of Srimati Radharani. Shri Prabhupada ki, Thai Gaut Premanandi.